Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. As news stories across the country, including several written by NC Policy Watch's Lynn Bonner, have been reporting in recent weeks, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on December 7th in a case out of North Carolina that has the potential to dramatically alter American democracy. In Moore v. Harper, Republican lawmakers argue that state courts should be barred from reviewing the actions of state legislatures when it comes to regulating elections for federal offices, including the maps that are drawn and the way the elections themselves are conducted. And earlier this week, I caught up with an advocate whose organization is at the epicenter of the controversy and deeply concerned about its potential implications, Common Cause of North Carolina Executive Director Bob Phillips. Well, Bob, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Great to be with you, Rob.
So obviously, Common Cause is speaking out right now about an enormously important Supreme Court case, the Moore versus Harper case. And I want to ask you about it and get into the details of it. Before I get to that, I want to just take a step back and remind our listeners about the whole debate over gerrymandering in modern politics, particularly in North Carolina, how gerrymandering is affecting our politics, how it affects our General Assembly, our congressional delegation. And maybe you could just sort of bring us up to date on the state of gerrymandering generally in North Carolina.
Absolutely, Rob. Well, you know, I think it's fair to say no state has more litigation behind it than North Carolina regarding the maps. I mean, Democrats gerrymandered back when they were in control. 2010, the power shifts. Republicans have done it with great zest and with more of the sophistication that we have today, thanks to computers. So, you know, from 2010 to 2020, every single legislative and congressional election was ultimately held on maps that were ruled unconstitutional. I don't know if any other state in America can make that claim. Maybe they wouldn't want to. But we do have this sad legacy, and it really does come down to the flawed process. As long as the lawmakers get to draw their own districts, we're going to have gerrymandering, regardless of who's in charge.
And there's obviously different kinds of gerrymandering. You know, we've had explicit racial discrimination in gerrymandering, and I guess that's been the basis of some previous court rulings. But there's also just partisan gerrymandering, where maps are just literally just drawn to guarantee that one party wins. We see that still, I think, in the maps that our General Assembly are elected under. Here we are basically a 50-50 state, but we still have a 3-2 Republican advantage in our General Assembly. But we have new maps, at least for now, in our congressional district that sort of seem to reflect that those are a little fairer, maybe, and we really are a 50-50 state.
I would agree with you, Rob. I mean, one thing to point out, the map that the legislature adopted, the congressional map in November last year, was projected to produce a 10 Republican, 4 Democratic map. And that was more favorable to the Republicans than 99.99% of all the other maps that were spit out by, you know, an algorithm that a computer produces that's based on the criteria. So you had an extreme radical outlier map that the legislature adopted in November, which is why we went to court and said, this is wrong. The state Supreme Court ultimately agreed with us. And as you say, we had a map that was drawn by 3 retired judges, bipartisan, Republican and Democrats included in that 3-judge special master panel, as they called it. And look what it produced, a 7-7 congressional map. And what is North Carolina? Well, we are a purple state. Do we hint slightly red or blue? It's debatable. But that map reflects more what North Carolina is than a 10-4 map that the lawmakers adopted in November of 2021.
Not quite the same happy outcome in the General Assembly in terms of maps. A debate still about how fair those maps are, but at least for now, it looks like Republicans retain very large majorities in the General Assembly as a result of the maps that were drawn. But let's talk about this litigation that gave rise to some of these changes in the maps. And that is, of course, leading to this case that's now going to the U.S. Supreme Court. Talk to us about sort of the history of the litigation over gerrymandering in North Carolina and how we got to the point now where the U.S. Supreme Court is going to weigh in on it yet again.
Well, you know, we've referenced it. And to my mind, it's all about, I guess I will say, sour grapes. The legislature didn't like the fact that their map was rejected and that the state court drew a map as North Carolina statute allows. It is nothing illegal that happened. So they went to the U.S. Supreme Court and said, stop this. Don't let this map prevail. The Supreme Court rejected that, but said, come back. We'll hear this case later on. And that's what's happening. December 7th is when the oral arguments will be made. You know, it is where the lawmakers are upset about a map that the state court drew, but it has these larger implications. This whole idea of something called the state independent legislative theory, which would essentially say lawmakers get to draw the maps and the state court has no longer any authority to review a state map and or election law. And that's the real concern and danger of this Moore v. Harper. It is a precedent setting kind of case, which across the country could essentially empower lawmakers to freely suppress the vote and rig the maps on federal elections, creating all kinds of chaos. I mean, it really is. Michael Luttig, Michael Pence's, Vice President Pence's top advisor, calls it the gravest threat to our democracy, maybe in the history of our country. That's how serious he sees it. And we would agree with that. This is a really concerning case that's going up before the U.S. Supreme Court.
So let me get this straight. Our statutes in North Carolina give our courts the right to review these maps that legislators draw in congressional districts. Our court has actually done that, applied North Carolina Constitution to it. But what the Republican legislators are saying, and they've been joined by some conservatives from around the country, is that there's a sentence in the U.S. Constitution that they make the argument that that puts that responsibility completely with state legislatures, and there's no possibility for state courts, or indeed at this point, federal courts, thanks to some previous decisions, to review a deeply gerrymandered partisan map. It's up to the legislature, and whether they're dominated by Democrats or Republicans, nobody else has a say. Is it really that blatant an argument that they're making?
It really is. I mean, it's basically saying that lawmakers should have the right to gerrymander maps freely without a state court's review, which goes against all the history, the text of the Constitution, the precedent, what we've done in the past, and actually the practice as well. It is just beyond logic in so many ways. And again, I liken it all the way back to sour grapes. Lawmakers here wanted a map that produced the results they wanted. I will remind folks that in New York, you had a state court up there that also rejected a Democratic drawn map that produced a map more favorable to the Republicans that a lot of people are saying is what really shifted the balance of power controlling Congress. So, you know, it may come back to bite you is what I also like to remind some of the people who think this is a good idea. It works both ways. Is this really in the interest of the people of North Carolina? Not at all, in our opinion.
We're talking to Bob Phillips, who's the executive director of Common Cause North Carolina, about the Moore v. Harper case that's going to be before the U.S. Supreme Court on December 7th, an incredibly important case out of North Carolina. Bob, you also alluded to the fact that it's perhaps not just district drawing that could be implicated by this. Could it actually affect other aspects of how federal elections are run at the state level?
That's the fear. Now, I'm not an attorney, but there are a lot of people who absolutely think that the whole elections laws could also be completely upended. And imagine this, Rob. I mean, you could have where federal elections are only on election, the Tuesday election day, no more early voting, a voter ID that's very stringent on the federal elections. It would just introduce all kinds of chaos. And the fear is, again, that the legislature could pass these draconian suppressive laws without any kind of review by the state Supreme Court. A lot of people believe that this is very much a potential consequence if this ruling goes the wrong way.
So just to be clear, the fear is that literally, say, the General Assembly in North Carolina could, if their theory holds and the Supreme Court were to endorse it and rule in their favors come next spring, that we could actually have different rules in place for federal elections than we would have for state elections, where presumably the state Supreme Court would retain authority to review the constitutionality of laws. So we could literally have dramatically different rules for how the election is run, when people vote, how votes are counted, all that stuff that could literally happen in North Carolina under this theory?
It absolutely can. And I know some of the folks on the other side say, oh, no, the left, they're trying to, I mean, calling us the left, they're trying to scare people. No one knows how the U.S. Supreme Court's going to rule. Is it going to be a narrow ruling? Is it going to be a broad ruling? And then how it is interpreted. So, yes, that is a real fear. Anyone who says it's not isn't being truthful in my mind. And fortunately, this is a real danger and a real fear in terms of having a whole different regime of laws regarding our federal elections.
And presumably the case couldn't have even made its way to the Supreme Court unless there were at least some justices who were at least willing to entertain this theory, right?
We know at least three that when the lawmakers, the North Carolina legislature said, stop this map now and go back to the other map for this election we just had, three of the Supreme Court justices agreed with it. A fourth said, I'm not wanting to disrupt this current election, but I would like to hear the case. I think there's merit. And all they need is four. So it'll take five justices to go with either side. We don't know how it'll work. We think, obviously, we have a great case. Our attorneys have some confidence. But at the same time, you never know with the kind of court we have, how they're going to rule.
So let's talk about what Common Cause is doing about this. It's clear y'all are making this a very public debate. Obviously, the Supreme Court is a court. It's not a legislature, but it seems to me that y'all have taken the position that this is something that all Americans need to know about and speak out about.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had a kind of a 6-month-long education campaign, Map Our Futures tour that we did with our friends at the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, who were our attorneys, by the way, in all this litigation. Wonderful folks. And we're going to be continuing that education, even though the arguments are made December 7th. We won't know the decision until June, but we've got to make sure that the people of North Carolina know what's at stake and really to do our job to check and hold this legislature accountable as they move into what we call the long session and start potentially thinking about what they want to do with our election laws. They do have a right, Rob, to draw a new congressional map. That was part of the court order. So we know that's coming. I suspect that won't come until after we hear from the U.S. Supreme Court in that decision. But we've got a fight on our hands. And everybody who believes, and this isn't a partisan issue, we all want fair elections. We all want fair maps. We all need to be educated and we all need to stand up to a legislature that I think is out of step with the people of North Carolina.
We're coming to the end of our time with Bob Phillips, who's the executive director of Common Cause North Carolina. Bob, what's the real answer here? Is there a solution to the gerrymandering problem? How could our state fix this problem and get out of this morass where when the Republicans are in charge, they draw maps in their favor? If the Democrats ever get back in charge, they'll draw maps in their favor. There's a better way to do this, isn't there?
We need a better process. Our view of it is that citizens, an independent citizens commission that reflects North Carolina, race, gender, geography, California, Michigan, they do it. There are better ways to provide more fair maps, not the partisans who do it, whether it's Democrats in charge or Republicans in charge. The problem we have here, Rob, in North Carolina, as you know, is we're not a ballot initiative state, and maybe we shouldn't be. That invites perhaps more problems, but it requires the legislature to do the right thing. They have to do it. We were hoping that in the last cycle in 2020, that maybe there would be enough uncertainty going into that election that both sides could possibly come together and think about it. The pandemic hit. It completely took any opportunity we might have had to have had that debate. Interestingly enough, the very folks who are leading this fight, Morvey Harper, Tim Moore, Speaker of the House, Phil Berger, President Pro Tem of the Senate, once upon a time, Rob, they supported a very robust redistricting reform. They put their name on 6 different bills in their legislative career. What's the difference? They were out of power then. And I could say by the same token, the Democrats who were in power, they did nothing. Both sides are at fault. They have to come together. They have to be the ones to solve this.
Final question. I know some people are actually traveling to Washington, right? And Common Cause is involved with that. Could people actually go to the Common Cause website and learn about those efforts or learn how they can become more involved?
Come to Common Cause North Carolina website. We got a bus leaving Tuesday, December 6th, about midday in front of the legislative building. How appropriate going up to Washington. $25 gets you on the bus, accommodations in Washington, D.C. If anybody wants to come and go to the U.S. Supreme Court on the steps and rally, I can't get you in the courtroom, unfortunately, but go to our website, Common Cause NC, and we can get you to D.C.
Bob, thanks so much for your important work. We wish you all the best. We'll be paying very close attention in the days and weeks to come. Take care.
Thank you, Rob.
Coming up next, one of our state's leading advocates for gun safety joins me to discuss the plague of mass shootings that continues to afflict our state and nation. Don't go away.